Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 2 of week number 22, studying Matthew chapter 22. As we get started, these reminders: for all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. Two new books are available for download at that page. The first book, Receiving the Gift of Salvation, and the second book, Surrendering to His Lordship. Download those books for free today and be blessed when you read and study them. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. Text IGHFREE to 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call toll-free 1-855-IGH-6988 for a free 30-lesson series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Let's get back into our study of Matthew chapter 22. Here's where we left off at the end of our last program. You can actually see and plot the number of questions as you read through Matthew's text, and consistent with an increasing general sense of challenges to Jesus and his ministry, the number of questions increases as well. It's not a steady, verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter increase, but there's definitely a pattern. The chapters that have the most questions overall, and the most questions per word count, that is, the greatest frequency of questions, are generally in the latter chapters of Matthew's Gospel. The highest number of questions appears in Matthew 26, where we observe 17 questions. That makes sense when you realize that this context chronicles the give and take questions, the answers, and the challenges during Jesus' trials leading up to his condemnation and to his crucifixion. In the previous chapter that we studied, Matthew chapter 21, there were 13 questions. And in this chapter, Matthew chapter 22, there are 12 questions. In Matthew chapter 27, there are 10. Though this chapter, Matthew 22, ranks third in the total number of questions, it ranks first in the number of questions per word count, or the frequency with which questions were asked. As you read through these chapters, you quickly see that though the challenges to Jesus in frequency and intensity increase as you go through Matthew, not all of the questions asked were posed by Jesus' antagonists. In the ongoing challenges, the questions were asked by his opponents, but Jesus, in response, often asked questions of his own. In the previous chapter, Matthew 21, when Jesus was challenged about his authority, the only answers he gave were questions. Those questions about John's baptism were not just about John's baptism. They were designed to make the chief priest and the elders realize that the same questions Jesus posed to them about John's baptism, thus John's authority, could also be posed about his own authority. Two more thoughts before we continue. First, questions were incredibly useful tools. Reading them helps to sharpen our understanding of the differences between Jesus and those who opposed him. And second, as you read through Matthew, Jesus not only answered his accusers' questions, Jesus did so with such definitive, we did not see that answer coming responses, that it befuddled his questioners and amazed the multitudes. Furthermore, though the Pharisees and the Sadducees and others usually asked Jesus questions to put him on the spot, it was Jesus' replies and his own questions that actually put them on the spot. Some of the questions that Jesus asked appear at the end of Kingdom of Heaven parables. The parables, though incredibly important themselves, were used to set the stage for the climactic questions that Jesus asked. And, as Jesus often did, the parables attracted and drew his listeners into the narrative in such a way that when they heard the final question, the conclusion, and the climax of Jesus' message, they failed to see how they were about to incriminate themselves. They failed to see how their answer gave Jesus another reason to indict them for their failure to believe God's word and their failure to act accordingly. For example, in a totally different context, Jesus questioned Simon the Pharisee in similar fashion. See Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 36. Simon wondered how Jesus could be a prophet if he, Jesus, failed to recognize that the woman anointing him was a woman of bad reputation. Chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. Jesus, of course, not only knew this woman's reputation, he also knew what Simon the Pharisee was thinking. To impress upon Simon how far he, Simon, was from the kingdom of God, Jesus introduced this illustration. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Chapter 7 of Luke, verses 41 and 42. Simon's answer, an obvious one, and one that Jesus clearly anticipated, was, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. Jesus' closing question, which of them will love him more, was not at all threatening. If you paid attention to the short illustration that he gave, you would have no reason to give any other answer. That's how obvious this answer was. But that obvious and anticipated answer led Jesus to tell Simon that the woman whom he questioned, though guilty of many sins, was really more appreciative, thus loved more, than did he, who seemingly assumed and acted as if he was above or without sin. Simon did not see that coming. What we see in Matthew 22 continues the kingdom of heaven parables with the climactic questions that Jesus started in the prior chapter. Jesus presented three kingdom of heaven parables in a row. The first two appear in Matthew 21, and the third and the last in this series appears at the very start of Matthew 22. In that regard, note how Matthew 22 begins, and Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables. That Jesus spoke to them again by parables tells us that Jesus was already teaching through parables. All three parables were very deliberately told with the same objective in mind, to get the religious leaders to realize just how far away they were from the kingdom of God. In the first and the shortest parable in the series, the parable about the vineyard owner and his two sons, Jesus, in conclusion, asked another simple and seemingly innocent question. Which of the two did the will of his father? Matthew 21, verse 31. The answer, again, an obvious one, the first. Jesus' climactic statement, assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. Note just how pointed Jesus was. Jesus repeatedly applied the message of the parable to the chief priest and the elders by using the word you. I say to you, tax collectors and harlots enter before you. John came to you, and you did not believe. You did not relent and believe. Five times in Matthew's record, Jesus made the message applicable to his immediate audience. But that's not all. Immediately after the first parable in Matthew 21, Jesus said, "Hear another parable." Matthew 21, verse 33. These words introduce the second of the three parables Jesus used to convict and convince, and hopefully to change and to convert, the chief priest and the elders. In this second, much longer parable, Jesus, using another kingdom of heaven as vineyard illustration, concluded with another self-evident answer to his final question. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? Chapter 21, verse 40. And, as we saw in the Simon the Pharisee context, and again in the first parable in Matthew 21, Jesus' listeners responded as would anyone in that situation. They said to him, "He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons." Matthew 21, verse 41. Jesus' final conclusion to this second parable, "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." Matthew 21, verse 43. Again, observe that Jesus made this directly applicable to his hearers. "I say to you, and the kingdom of God will be taken from you." And then, in the third and the final parable, the one that appears at the start of Matthew chapter 22, Jesus' objective had not changed. There appears, however, a change in the way that Jesus concluded the parable. In the prior two parables, Jesus asked the innocent question with the obvious answer, thus drawing his audience in to his crucial and always critical conclusion. At the end of this parable, Jesus ended with a very definitive and harsh statement of judgment. The offending wedding guest was cast into outer darkness, where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 22, verse 13. And Jesus' final words, "For many are called, but few are chosen." No obvious, simple-to-answer questions this time. Just an absolute and authoritative statement of judgment. At the end of his second parable, Jesus' audience perceived that he was speaking of them. But though they wanted to stop Jesus, they were afraid to do so because the multitudes believed that Jesus was a prophet. Matthew chapter 21, verses 41 through 45. At the end of this third and final parable in the series, we read no explicit statement that says that they knew Jesus was speaking of them. Their plots to entangle him, however, seems to imply that they knew quite well that Jesus had just indicted them once again. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew 22. This reminder as we close, to get started in our completely free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.